Good morning. How about now? Yeah. Okay. All right. Good morning. Glad to see all of you here this morning. Glad to be back. We had a busy week. Vacation was a kind of a working vacation. We got to go down to Redbird Mission, where we're going in July, down to that mission camp in Kentucky. Got to visit our friends, but also got to do a little work in the community center, in the thrift store. Got to be over at the school and see what they're doing. And so kind of got an idea of what the place is like. Got to sleep in one of the camps, one of the cabins, when Brad's air mattress busted, and Vicky and I woke up at about 12:30 and realized there's no air in our mattress anymore. But he took us out and put us in one of the rooms, so at least I know what room's going to look like when we go too. So it was a fun, adventurous, tiring week. We have some announcements that I want to go through. A couple of things. Are new, but also in the bulletin. So just hope you've looked at it. Keep in mind about this Saturday. This Saturday, you see that there's something there about painting some rocks. It's the idea about just kind of like spreading some joy, painting these rocks, putting a nice joyful message on them, putting them out there for people to find. A stranger finds one, picks it up, and sees this little message of encouragement or message of joy. It's a way of spreading joy through the area. So if you can come this Saturday, 9 o'clock, to paint some rocks, that would be wonderful. You see the mission team is getting ready. They're taking subs and sandwiches. There's probably an order form in your mailbox this morning. Okay, if you have an order form, please put your name on that order form. Make sure you identify who these sandwiches are for, because any that are not claimed will come my way. And you don't want to pay for my lunch for a week or a week and a half. So, yeah, make sure you put your name on your order so they know who to get it back to. And you want to get those back by Sunday, May 5th. So you don't have a lot of time, make your decision, fill out the form, get it back to them. And also, I want to apologize. I know there was a little bit of confusion last week for some reason with the whole coffee shop theology thing and the classes. I want to make it clear, this week I will not be in the office on Wednesday. So there won't be any classes at all on Wednesday, no coffee shop theology this week, morning or evening. But we'll get started again next week and get rolling and try to get consistent, get back to a consistent schedule there. The last thing that I have, well, before we go to the baby bottles, anything else that anybody has regarding, yeah. Oh, yeah, we have, I think Logan has some good news for us.
Yeah, you can see in the bulletin, the annex parking lot was sold. We closed on Wednesday. That was a quick process. The business right across the street that works on the radios and stuff on the EMS vehicles and police cars and whatever, they bought that. They said that we are still welcome to use it if there's spaces during non-working hours, if we ever need it, just FYI. But happy to share that news.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other Any other announcements? Any scheduling things we need to talk about, know about? Okay, well, as you see also, there's something in the bulletin here about the baby bottle boomerang to benefit Align Life Ministries. But Dawn has a few things to say, and then I think she has a video to share with us.
So. Yeah, I think most of you have noticed the table back here with the baby bottles on it. Like he said, it's for Align Life Ministries. So we just want to show a short clip of one person that's been helped through this organization.
One of the elements of today's sermon is that when God works hard, Satan works just as hard. These things worked before, right? The microphones worked. This thing worked in Proclaim before, but
okay. Well, if you want to go on to YouTube, there are some. If you just look up Align Life Ministries, there are some testimonies there. This particular lady had triplets. She was supposed to have triplets, and they said it would be better for her if she would abort one of them, and they decided not to, and unfortunately all three passed away. But then eventually she did get pregnant again, and Align helped her with, her husband was in boot camp, and Align helped her, have her sonogram and all that kind of thing, and helped her out with that. So, okay, anyways, if you want to go on YouTube, there are some good testimonies there. But if you haven't gotten a baby bottle yet, please get one, and or you can go online and just fill a bottle that way. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I tell you what, you had shared that YouTube with me like in an email, so I'll get Jenny to send that out to all of you. That would be a quicker link then, an easier way for you to get connected with it. You can watch it at your leisure, watch it if you want to. But yeah, it's worth the, I don't know, was it 10 or 15 minute video? Yeah, not even that long, but it's definitely worth hearing her story. Okay, well, let's begin our worship service then with prayer and with a request for God's presence and for His help this morning. Let's pray. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Thank you, first of all, for just a new day, a day for us to just step out of bed, take a breath, take a few steps, all the things that we take for granted, but blessings that you have provided already this morning. We thank you that we have an opportunity to come together and to worship you and to share testimonies. Father, we pray that that we can get this testimony out from this woman that we just talked about. I think Jaylene, I think was her name. Help us to make that story known, even though there's something that's trying to keep us from seeing it this morning. Help us to get it out and let everybody see it and hear her testimony. Father, I pray that everything that we do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory, and that the focus would be on you and not on us, not on our distractions. Just help us to remember that you are awesome, that you are worthy of our praise, and that's why we're here, and we will not stop praising you. Nothing will stand in the way of worshiping our awesome God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able as I read our call to worship. I'm going to read from Psalm 68, and it's just an invitation to us, something of a command to us, a suggestion. Verse 4 says, to sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. Let's sing our praises this morning.
Okay, here we go. Got a bit of a skeleton crew this morning, but we'll make it work. So sing with us. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. So we are his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yes, he loves us.
Spoke your name into the
darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. Broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Amen. Take a minute to greet your neighbor. All right. As we find our way back to our seats, we'll take some time now to lift up our praises and our prayer requests. So let's start off. You've got 2 weeks to catch up for me, so tell me about your praises that you've had within the last 2 weeks. We got one up front. Deb? All the way up. Jeff?
Actually, I have two of them. First, we're going to be celebrating somebody's 21st birthday this week, and Rebecca's turning 21 on Tuesday, so
happy
that's
birthday.
A great celebration. She came home to visit with us this weekend,
okay.
Which is great. And number two, I want to really praise Logan for the job that he's done on the parking lot and the work that he has been doing nonstop. So I think high praise for that as well.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Logan, for what you've been doing. Any other praises? Got one.
I'd just like to thank everybody in the church who was so kind and gracious and had prayers for me and my family throughout the last 2 weeks. And my brother went home with the Lord. And I thank you for your cards and your prayers. God bless all of you.
Thank you. Any other praises? Any prayer requests?
A praise is last week, the week before, we had visitors, and they were our grandchildren in their 20s, a grandson and our granddaughter, and we just had a fabulous time sitting, listening, catching up with them. And also a prayer for Jonathan. He went in the Army, and my grandma heart is like, oh, please protect him, God, in there. So just prayers of protection for John.
So Amanda wanted me to ask for prayers for a customer of hers. Her name's Vicky, dealing with some serious cancer, I guess, in her lungs and also in her brain. And recently just suffered a stroke as well. So prayers for her for healing and also for her family.
Yes, yeah, so my aunt had a mild stroke here last week, and she's in Fry Village. If you could just keep her in your prayers, she is 92 years old. And she's, yeah. Just keep her in your prayers. Thank you.
Okay. It's my mom's birthday on Monday.
Oh, okay. Is she hiding in the nursery or no? Just not here. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, when we see her, we'll have to wish her a happy birthday then. Any other? Yes.
We are very fortunate and proud that Nathan earned his Eagle Scout this past week.
Yeah, congratulations. Keep them coming. Any others?
Since you weren't here last weekend, the middle school did their musical, and it was just a joy to watch the talent that all of these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders had, my 8th grader in particular, it just brings pride and joy as a mother.
Yes, okay.
Nope. Please pray for a young man, a farmer, tragically lost his life yesterday. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've heard the the concerns of our hearts. You've heard the joys of our hearts, and we thank you for the way that you are involved in both. We thank you that you are with us, rejoicing with us in the good times, and then also grieving with us during times of loss, times of concern. We ask you to be with these people who need your strength as they go through medical conditions, as they're dealing with cancer, with stroke, just the complication of stroke on top of old age. And we just ask you to watch over them. These families who have suffered loss, we ask you to comfort those families. Let them sense your presence through this time of mourning. We ask for your protection for those who need it. Particularly Jonathan was mentioned, and as he enters the army, and just watch over him, be with him, protect him. Watch over all those who put their lives in danger to make sure that the rest of us are safe, whether it's just in the neighborhood or as a country. We thank you for people who feel the responsibility to take care of others by putting their own safety on the line. We especially thank you for Jesus as we talk about that just someone who put their life on the line for us. We thank you for the way you watch over us, the way you protect us, Father, and the way you provide an income for us. We have given a portion back as our offering. We ask you to accept it and to bless it and to use it to further your kingdom and to further your church. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 78. All right. Well, we're past Easter season and past my vacation, so we're back to looking at the book of Acts. We were walking through the book of Acts. If you remember, about a month ago, we left off with Paul and Barnabas. They had traveled to Antioch, but Antioch in Pisidia, not the Antioch in Syria where they started. They're in another Antioch. But as was their custom, just what they would do, it was the Sabbath. They went in to the synagogue. They went to church service. And while they were there, one of the leaders asked them, "If you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." And so Paul stood up and he addressed them and he started preaching to them. He went through a brief history. He talked about God taking the Israelites out of Egypt. He talked about the prophets. He talked about the judges, and he talked about David, and mentioned that from this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus. And then he talks about how Jesus was crucified, and that Pilate had him executed. He talked about how he was buried, but he says, but God raised him from the dead. And he kept focusing on that point. God raised him from the dead. And later on, he says again about God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. And then later on again, he talks about David, how David fell asleep, was buried, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. And so, you know, I was focusing on the idea, not the idea, but the theological truth of resurrection. We spent a couple weeks on that. But you can see how important it is that it was a major part of Paul's sermon to remind them that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then finishes up his sermon by saying, "My friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses." Now, this got the Gentiles' attention because up to this point, they had been following all the Jewish laws. And if they wanted to be a Jew, or at least a God-fearer, as they were labeled, they followed the laws of the Jews. They had to follow the dietary restrictions and so forth. Those who were actual devout followers and called proselytes, they would go through the process all the way. They would include the mark of the covenant that was known as circumcision. They would go all that way. But now Jesus, or Paul, is telling these people that through Jesus, you don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is believe in this man, that he provides a justification. You'll be justified, just as if I'd never sinned. He would remove those sins without needing to go to the temple, take a burnt offering, take a sacrifice, and it only applies to those things you've done so far, and you've got to do it again and again and again. But here's Jesus being presented to them as one who can provide justification from their sins, something that they couldn't obtain under the law of Moses. The law of Moses could only make them aware of their sins. It's kind of like a commercial I've seen recently where the young man, there's a person sitting in a dentist chair, which I could relate to very easily the last 2 weeks. But he's sitting in the dental chair, and there's what looks like a dentist sitting there and an assistant, and the person that looks like a dentist gets in the mouth and he's checking it all out, and he indicates you do have a cavity, and he looks at the assistant and says, "Okay, let's go to lunch." And he says, "Well, wait a minute, aren't you going to do something about the cavity?" And this individual says, "Well, no, I'm not a dentist, I'm just a dental monitor, just the one who would let you know about your problem but couldn't fix it." That's the same way with the law of Moses. It'll let you know. It'll reveal, but only Jesus can heal. It'll let you know what you're doing wrong. It'll let you know about your sin. It'll reveal your sin to you. But you can't take these pages out that have the law and like wrap them around your heart or around your chest somehow and fix your heart. You go get an X-ray, and it'll tell you that you've got a tear or you've got a broken bone or something like that. Okay, it lets you know, it reveals, but you can't take that X-ray and wrap it around your leg and fix your leg. And that's what Paul is letting them know, that the law is only letting you know what you're doing wrong. It can't do anything to fix it, but Jesus can. Jesus is the one who can provide the justification. And so this is something that is extremely intriguing, especially to the Gentiles, who now hear a new way of following God and then following Jesus, again, without going through all those processes of becoming a Jew first and so forth. So we're picking it up today in chapter 13 and in verse 42. We're going to look at, starting in verse 42, we're going to finish out the chapter 13. But this message that they gave was obviously taken very positively, because verse 42 says, "As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath." And in fact, most, I think other translations will say that the people begged them to speak further. So just think about this, just think about what's happened recently. The idea that in our story here, they're visitors at a synagogue. Okay, so last week you had Pastor Dave Swift. He came, he preached a message to you. And just imagine that message was just such a wonderful sermon, and it touched your heart so much that before he left, you said, "Hey, Pastor Swift, that was something incredible. I want to hear more. Can you come back next week?" And just beg him to show up this week. You know, that was such an incredible story. They begged Paul and Barnabas to speak further on the next Sabbath. They wanted him to come back. And when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and the devout converts, now those were the ones who did go all the way, including that mark of the covenant, the devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Paul and Barnabas were encouraging them to continue in the grace of God, not the law of God. But you get the idea that these people just were so interested in this story that they didn't just shake the pastor's hand on the way out and go home and spend the week not thinking about it and show up again next Sunday. It sounds like they were hanging on to these two all week, begging them to come back next Sunday, then walking with them, probably talking to them all week, asking them questions, just staying with them, trying to get as much information as they can while these two are here. Because remember, they're visitors. This isn't a church that they're planting. This isn't something where they are the highlights or they are the ones who started this thing. They're just visitors. They stopped by and they have this message. And on the next Sabbath day, verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So Pastor Swift came last week, he gave an incredible sermon, you begged him to come back this week, and what do you know, he comes back, but not only him, but half of Palmyra. Just the almost the whole city shows up. So, you know, I walk over, and I see Pastor Swift, and I'm thinking, did we get our schedules mixed up? You know, I thought it was supposed to be last week. No, I understand that they begged him to come back this week. Okay, that's great. And then I walk in, and I see that the pews are packed. There's people in the balconies. There's people back here in the nursery. They've got the volume turned up so they can hear. John figured out a way to live stream it over into the fellowship hall and watch it on the TV over there. I mean, that's the idea. Be quiet. That's the idea of what's happening here. I tell you what, the devil is really working hard this morning. Next thing is going to be a whole motorcycle gang go by or something. But the whole idea is that the majority of the city showed up. They wanted to hear. They heard about this through the week. They wanted to hear this message. It was an incredible message that they were hearing. This message of Jesus being able to forgive them of their sins, justify them without all of the burden of the law. And of course, if I walked in and I saw Pastor Swift here, heard you begged him to come, and I see so many people from the community are here. The place is packed. The house is packed. Why don't they show up for my sermons? Why don't they show up when I'm preaching, right? And that's kind of what's happening here. Look at the next verse. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They weren't excited about the fact that, hey, we're actually getting to preach a message about God to the majority of the city. No, they are filled with jealousy. So here again, God's doing something wonderful. God's very busy here, getting involved with the entire town. But when Satan sees that, he can't just let it go. He's not going to rest. So he gets busy. He gets busy in the hearts of the Jews here. They were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Paul's preaching truth. And you can't argue truth unless you just start throwing things up, you know, they start heaping abuse on him. Start heaping abuse on him, and they start contradicting him. Don't listen to what he's saying. It can't be true. I had a situation in my former career where I was installing some software. I had a team of people installing some software up here at Carlisle Tire and Wheel. And the software itself was made by a company called SSA. The only reason I mention that is because I was in, we were installing the software, we had two locations up and running, things were going smoothly, and a former employee, someone from SSA who just got laid off, just got let go, I guess he needed some business, he's looking around finding clients, he shows up at our site, and he convinces the database administrator that the data that's in the system is corrupt. Well, I mean, I had the IT manager on my side. He knew what he had done. He knows it's all running smoothly. I had explained all the data to him. Found myself at a table, me and the IT manager, and this guy and the database administrator on the other side, and him just heaping abuse on me and trying to convince them that we had done it all wrong. But how do you argue with someone, like if he sat there and would say, "The sky is green"? How do you argue with someone like that? You know, when you just know the truth, you know the sky is blue, you know the truth about Jesus, you're preaching that truth about Jesus, but somebody doesn't want to let you speak that truth. All they could do was start contradicting and start trying to work on his integrity, trying to discredit him. They heap abuse on him. And so then, verse 46, Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. I think they were already bold. But at this point, just like I was sitting at that table, the more this guy starts contradicting and the more this guy's trying to work on my integrity, the more impassioned I get. The louder my words start getting, the stronger, the more bold my words start getting. And I think that's what's happening here. They were already bold, but they're now passionately bold. Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. He looked at them, it's almost like he looked at them, stared at them, gave them that evil eye and says, okay, the hairy eyeball, not the evil eye, but the hairy eyeball and says, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it, don't consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles." It's like, okay, we had to talk to you first. You're the chosen ones. I'm going to speak the message to you, but if you don't want to hear it, I'm not going to waste my time. If you want to choose to reject eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. 47, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." That's what the Israelites were supposed to be doing. The Jews were supposed to believe. They were supposed to share the message. They were supposed to be a light for the Gentiles, bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. But they wanted to hold on to it. Paul's just presenting the same kind of message that Jesus presented when he was alive, when he presented it in the form of a parable, the parable of the great banquet. Luke records that. Jesus says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." You got God and the Israelites. "At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant," that would be Jesus, to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Jesus showed up and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. So the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Bring those ones who will appreciate my message. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. So the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Go out to the ends of the earth so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Paul's reminding them, you rejected the word of God. You don't consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. So now we're turning to the Gentiles. In 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They were exceedingly glad. And they honored the word of the Lord, or some translations say they glorified the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. And then 49, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. People heard this, they shared it. As visitors came into town, they shared with them. As merchants came into town, they shared with them. As they traveled outside of town, they shared it with everybody. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Now my sermon title, you saw the gospel divides. It shouldn't. It's truth. It's a message of inclusivity. It's for everyone. There's not anyone who is supposed to be excluded from it. It's available to everybody. But for some reason, it does divide. It's the way people receive the message. I can speak truth to people, and I can share the gospel with them, but if they don't want to hear it, if they don't want to accept it, they'll get mad at me, or they'll make decisions to change something, whatever. If someone hears the message and they're happy with it, well, then there's joy and so forth. But the gospel is presented, but it's not always received the same way. So it does end up dividing. And we see that then in this next verse, 50. But the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. I think this is interesting that they go to the women. You know, you want to get a man moving, what do? You go to his wife. You know, get that woman riled up. Yeah. Well, that's apparently what these guys were doing. They're inciting the God-fearing women. Now, that was interesting as I found some statistics, and this is not just from the internet, this is from a commentary, but it's talking about women. And we know that women aren't necessarily, they weren't considered to be, they weren't reliable witnesses and so forth, all that sort of thing. But yet we found that women, they appear on 40% of tomb inscriptions. So that kind of supports that whole theory about men. It was a male-dominated society. But women comprised 50% of the proselytes. Those were the ones that completely converted to Judaism. Now, that's probably because they didn't have that one step that the man had to go through, but they were able to convert completely. 50% of proselytes were women, and women comprised 80% of God-fearers. Now, I don't know exactly how they came up with this, but like I said, it's coming from a commentary, not just something off the internet. But that's probably another reason why Paul would go to these God-fearing women. If you go into the men, you don't have the same kind of chances that you're hitting one that is a God-fearer. If 80% of the God-fearers are women, well then you go to the majority. You go talk to these women and get them stirred up. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. They just came in and they just had such a wonderful message that the majority of the town showed up the next Sunday, next Saturday, the next Sabbath, to hear their message. Everyone is enjoying this message, except for these prominent Jews, the Jewish leaders, Satan's working on them real hard. And so they end up expelling them from their region, 51. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. Shaking the dust off your feet was something that the Jews would do anyway, sort of ceremonially, ritualistically. We talked before, too, about if they're ready for a meal, they needed to wash their hands, and it was just kind of a rinsing thing. It was just ritual that they would do. Well, if they have traveled and they've gone outside of Israelite territory, when they come back, they want to shake off the pagan dust from their feet before they enter their own territory. Well, Jesus had given some directions on this sort of thing when he sent out 72 people and told them, when you enter a town and you're welcomed, eat what's offered to you, heal the sick, etc., etc. But he says, but when you enter a town and you are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. And that's what is happening here. Paul and Barnabas, they're giving a message here. When they wipe off the dust of this area's, this town's, when they wipe the dust off their feet that came from this town, they're basically saying, right now you are no better than the pagans that you normally try to shake the dust off of your feet from. You're no better than them right now. So they send that as a message, as a warning, and they go to Iconium. And then verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's the wonderful part about this, because if those people in this town found their joy in Paul and in Barnabas and just in what they're saying and how they feel by listening to them, well, that joy would go away when Paul and Barnabas get expelled, when they're sent away. So the fact that they still have this joy, even though those two get sent out, indicates that they have accepted the grace of God. They have let it work in their heart. They found joy in their hearts even without Paul and Barnabas being there. Paul and Barnabas have done their job now. They're done in this town, but the Holy Spirit and God is still working in the town and still keeping joy in their hearts. I mentioned that the title was The Gospel Divides. You see how some will hear and find joy in the message. Some will hear, but they don't hear the truth. They somehow hear something different that triggers some kind of a negative response. People were responding, and so these guys were jealous. People were responding, so they wanted to get rid of the messengers. Why is that? You'll find as you go and you share the gospel that not everybody is going to accept your message willingly or joyfully. I pray that God does provide some for you, that you will find the encouragement of sharing every now and then and finding that the person wants to hear more and begs you to talk to them again next week. Maybe they talk about, hey, let's get together again next week over some coffee or something and let's talk about this some more. But don't get discouraged. If you are talking to someone, you share the truth with them, and they just don't want to hear it. If they reject it, well, then you just figuratively wipe their dust off your feet and move on to another one, because you've done your job. You've shared the gospel. It's up to the Holy Spirit to take it from there. It's their hearts that have to be ready, have to be willing to accept the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth we find in it. Father, I know it can be very frustrating, very difficult sometimes to share your truth, to share your message, especially to those who just don't want to hear it. Help us to have the courage to continue to share. Help us to have the encouragement to move from those who reject it to those who want to hear it. Help us to remember that we are ambassadors of you, And that our job is simply to share the message. Help us, though, to present the message in a way that doesn't divide on its own. Help us to be the kind of people who others want to hear from. Help us to be approachable. Help us to share your message in the right way. And then if they don't want to hear it, then they have rejected it because of the message, not because of us. We just need your help, Lord. Help us to present your message in the right way so that you are represented correctly. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand and we'll sing our final hymn, number 460. So keep sharing the message till the whole world knows. And as you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he protect you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.